We're at Angel Fire, and I'm Jerry Pippin, and this is the 2010 Paranormal Symposium and Film Festival, and D. Greg is here, and we'll get into a pretty interesting subject. Actually, it's a question that I've always asked myself, and D. actually brought it out of the closet, so to speak, and lectured about it. But first of all, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that he just gave me a nice little book here. And this is your new book, D, right?
Yes, it is. Sure is.
And it's called A Simple Explanation of ETs?
That's exactly correct. And I wrote it fair as simple as I could because I'm going to be teaching it to people who are just walking off the street to my class who's starting from zero. And so I made it simple enough that anybody could do that.
Now, your class is here in New Mexico?
Yes, New Mexico State University.
And when's it scheduled again?
It'll start the first Wednesday in October.
And it's a night course?
Yes. I've already been approved by the board and the coordinator, and we've set it up, and it's ready to go.
Well, you're one of the few people teaching about ETs and contact and all of that.
Yes, I'm a member
in academia.
I'm a member of the UFO Educator. There's probably 20, 25 of us at any given time. There's probably not more than a half dozen of us that are actually teaching it at a university. Uh-huh. So it's fairly fair, and I feel honored, privileged to get to do it, that the university has let me do it.
Is that still open for enrollment down there?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And they can contact the university? And
yes, yes, if anybody would like to do that. Sure thing.
Okay, now I've never, I've always wondered about ETs. Are they interested in sex? If they're not, they seem like they're missing something.
Let me tell you what, they're not interested in sex per se with themselves, but they're interested in a breeding program because they are doing a human alien hybrid program. And so they abduct the women for this and impregnate them. For sex themselves, they don't have the equipment for the most part. They have no genitalia.
Uh-huh.
And a part of the breeding program is these hybrid fetuses now do have genitalia, and presumably they can start breeding them. It's my understanding one would have to breed for about through five generations to get them so that they could pass as humans. And there are ones who do pass as humans.
Well, we've heard abduction stories for more than that decade, so
yes.
I guess some of them are among us?
They are. Some of them are among us. The ones that I think in particular that we couldn't identify are the Nordics. The Nordics, they're just a little taller than we are and a little healthier looking, muscular. They're beautiful looking people, and some are blondes like you'd expect, but there are other redheads and brunettes in there. I would think they could pass among us without any trouble. Now, the little grays, their breeding program, they're trying to breed human aliens that can pass among us. And that's what I was talking about, maybe about five generations before they can pass among us. But they are trying to pass among us now because we find them from time to time, so we know they are.
Maybe you can talk a little bit more about that. What do you mean we find them from time to time?
They are identified by either abductees or ufologists who are studying the field. And most of the time, the way they find them is not by how they look. They've taken care of that. They look pretty much like us. They've learned some skills about how to drive cars and stuff. But where they usually you can really find them is that they don't understand the nuances and the subtleties of our civilization. There's one of them was he wanted to seduct a 16-year-old girl, but he had no idea how to do it. He told her he was going to give her a job, and then when they got there, well, he told her he wanted to have sex with her. Yeah, it's that sort of thing that they don't understand how we
you
work.
You just don't bluntly say that you're going to buy him a glass of wine first.
Yeah, yeah.
And probably should pick somebody 18.
Yeah, certainly. But, they abduct our females as young as 13. Right after puberty, and they prefer to start young, and they abduct them throughout their lives often.
So I've always wondered what happens. They impregnate the abductee,
yeah,
the 13-year-old, let's say.
Yeah.
And they take the fetus. Is that the way it works?
Yes. They come
they don't allow it to go to term.
No. They take the fetus at 3 months. And they go in and cut it loose inside the womb. There will be a little gray right there with a cylinder of fluid, and they will put it in this cylinder of fluid, and then they will take it back and put it into the artificial wombs. And they grow them to term then in the artificial wombs. And why they take them at 3 months, I've never heard anyone say it's just that's how they do it. They probably have a reason.
Perhaps it needs the body of the host for to develop the first. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, well, they have to get the embryo and the fetus going in the womb. And apparently, after 3 months, they don't need them to do that anymore.
How much do we really know about this? And what's? I mean, how do we really know? Would you know from abductees through retrograde to hypnosis, or what?
Through abductees, Bud Hopkins has worked with more than 1,000. Daryl Sims, who's here at this symposium, has worked with more than 1,000. Others have made estimates how many people are being abducted, and it varies on the low end from several hundred thousand to 15 million people that have been abducted. They abduct a few males because they need some sperm, but mostly they just abduct females for the egg. Then they mix their DNA the egg.
I've had a few males talk to me about abductions.
Yeah.
So they take the sperm from the male donor.
Yes.
And then I'm trying to figure out how it actually works. I guess they impregnate the woman with the male sperm,
which has had the hybrid DNA, so that they impregnate them.
So
with
they take the male sperm and they do something with it. Cloning or something. I don't know what
they put their DNA with the egg when they fertilize it with the sperm, and then they go and implant that fertilized egg inside the female and let it grow for 3 months.
What I'm getting at, Dee, is what happens when these babies are born? I mean, is there a huge nursery someplace? They seem to even show it to the mothers sometimes.
Let me tell you the story about that. You're right on to something I just told to the group. Yes, they have a nursery, and this lady who had been abducted, and she'd had a fetus cut from her, and they told her, we're going to show you something wonderful. And, you know, she kind of said, well, that'll be a first if they did, and they took her down the hall and into another room, and there was a chair. You see very few chairs. Abductees report very few chairs, so we don't think ETs can sit down, and we don't think they bend at the right place or even need to sit down. But they told her to sit down in the chair. And so then a nurse came in holding a baby, and she says, isn't he beautiful? He's yours. And she looked, and she said, this was an ugly, scrawny little thing. Eyes are much too big. Head's much too big. She's grotesque. And she said, no, he's ugly. He's not mine. Take him away. Well, that didn't work. The nurse didn't do that. She said, you must hold him. And she said, no, no, take him away. So then she said, you must touch him or he will die. And she reached out and touched him. And as she did, the nurse thrust that baby into her arms and said, nurse the baby. She said, you're crazy. I don't have anything for the baby. I don't have any milk. And she said, nurse the baby. Put him to your breast. So she did this ugly little fetus thing and found the nipple and had a weak sucking reflex. And to her amazement, she began to lactate and she was feeding the baby. And then a strange thing happened. She looked down at this ugly little creature, malformed and stuff. And she thought, he needs me. And she began to bond with him and she pulled him closer to her. And she continued to bond with him, and she knew this was a mistake. So they were going to take this baby, and they did. They came back and took the baby, and she screamed, stop, give me my baby back. And that didn't do any good. The nurse took it back to the nursery, which is what we're talking about, and they took her home, and she woke up the next day frustrated, nervous, depressed, sort of knowing why, sort of not knowing why. But, yes, they have a nursery. There's one of the things we don't know, though, is after their babies, say that the first generation of them, what happens to them as they're going up through two or three more generations before they can pass. We see very few of those. I have a few in my book and in the lecture, and most of the time they had to do with a hybrid having sex with a male. But we don't find many of them, and not nearly enough to account for the numbers that they are abducting. So maybe they're off somewhere we just don't know, and they don't need us to know. And so they're very secretive anyway. You know, they don't want you to take their picture or in particular.
How did you come across the story with this lady?
With the lady?
Yeah.
The lady...
That's a great story.
Thank you. And I must tell you, it is a composite. Everything I told you has happened to an abductee.
Okay,
but in order to get the thing straight and not tell you about five or six different women, then I made a composite. This is what typically happens to them.
Uh-huh.
And I got...
I wanted to...
Most of this
out.
Information were from Bud Hopkins, Dr. Johnny Mack, Dr. Jacobs, Daryl Sims is here.
Uh-huh.
And I put this together just so that I could teach it in a coherent manner.
Right.
And I haven't put anything in that it doesn't happen. All of this happened. Maybe all of it happens to every woman. I don't know, because they will report parts of it in another woman. They will report other parts, and I thought that would be too confusing. I just gave them a composite.
So when they develop this breeding program,
mm-hmm.
and it goes to the fifth generation,
yeah.
and they have someone that's pretty much human, do they come into this this population, or what happens?
We found them in the population, mm-hmm. that they know how to drive cars, like I was telling about the guy who told a 16-year-old had a job for, trying to think of others.
Uh-huh.
Mostly,
so these people know they are hybrids?
Yes. Interesting enough, I asked Yvette Smith about that, who's a researcher, and I said, do they know that they're hybrids? She said, yes. Do they recognize other hybrids? She said, yes. I said, do they breed with each other? She said, no, I don't think so. I said, do they breed with humans? She says, yeah, that's the idea.
Uh-huh.
So they're here, and...
So there are people in our population who know that they're hybrids,
they're
seeking
hybrids.
Out other human women or men
yes.
to breed.
Yes, it's even more insidious than that. They retain the ability to read your mind and control your mind when they're working among us. And if you're going to ask me why they're among us, I'd like the group I told already this morning, we simply don't know why. We know what they're doing. We don't yet know why they're doing it. I mean, a lot of speculation is they're going to try to take over. This is a methodology of taking over the Earth, but we don't know that for sure. They're very secretive.
Yeah, we start out five generations back with a gray.
Yeah.
And now we've got this almost, I guess, it would be a nationality. It would be. It's not really a species. It's a human. Almost.
Yeah. It's. I just say hybrid.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They'll have powers that humans don't have.
And what are those powers?
Well, like I was telling you about, they can read your mind,
mm-hmm.
and they can influence your mind.
Well, they have so little mind control.
Yes, they do. Now. You're going to think again why, and I don't know why, but I can, you know, guess why. They have their own agenda for sure.
So if they're mind control, they probably don't have much trouble breeding with other humans later.
I would guess so, Jerry, but yeah, we're just guessing.
I hate to get into that, but so they can do all sorts of things.
My opinion is this. Yes, that's certainly true.
So these hybrids, fifth generation I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They go to our colleges, and one of them might even go to your course.
they're among us, Jerry. We don't know to what extent. We don't know how many of them they are, how widespread this is, but they're there. I assume that as time goes on, we'll learn more and more about them and do that.
Yeah, well, and we don't know. It doesn't sound, I mean, they're so secretive, so immediately it sounds pretty nefarious.
Yeah, and we don't know all the reasons for secrecy. Is it because they don't want the population, our population, to know how widespread this is? How many of them they're doing? Afraid of spreading panic to the population. Maybe they're violating the Eisenhower Treaty. They are violating the Eisenhower Treaty. We don't know if that's the reason they're being secret or not. Maybe they're violating, and I don't even know if this exists or not, the Galactic Federation. I read about it on the internet, but when I try to trace it down, I don't find out whether there is such a thing or not. But if there is, maybe they're in violation of it and they're wanting to hide. Another thought is maybe they're competing groups of these, and maybe they're hiding what they're doing from the other group. Now, I heard a couple of ufologists talking at a dinner one time. They didn't put this out, but overheard them saying that they thought the reptilians and the Nordics had been warring on the U.S. on this earth for 250,000 years. And she said the way they war is they don't kill each other like we do. They war by cloning, whatever that might mean.
So they're competing species, and this is a prize.
There are species that they're in direct conflict with each other. Yes, we know. There are good ones and there are bad ones, and we have reports about both kinds. Into the breeding program, most of those would be classified as the bad ones, although I do know a lady, she may be here at this convention, I haven't seen her yet, who has given them 17 fetuses through most of her child productive life from time to time. And I asked her about them, and I said, how do you feel about these hybrids that are out there that are your children? She said, oh, I'm very happy that I've been able to help America. I would also say this lady also has several implants, and they give her instructions to these implants. And I've never asked her directly, you know, if she's being influenced by them or not. But she seemed very happy about the whole thing.
It's a fascinating subject, Dee.
Thank you. We could
go on and on and on about it.
Thank you.
Let's talk about that class. It's still open. People can go to it.
Yes, they sure can.
The name of the university and where it is.
New Mexico State University, and the branch is Alamogordo. And it's adult education, and you can enroll. Well, we're going to limit the class to 12. So you can enroll any time until we fill the class, if we fill the class. We're a small desert community, Jerry, and there's a limited number of people to draw from. So
now, what we all got a minute or two left.
Okay.
You're still investigating this subject we've been talking about, of course.
Yes, yes. Yeah,
but what else interests you? I know you were in crop circles, but there's none here in New Mexico, are there?
Never been a crop circle reported in the state of New Mexico. I'm the field investigator for the International Crop Circle Association. If we ever have one, I have my little bag packed, and I'll go out and investigate it. But it's an easy job because we've never had one in the state of New Mexico.
That's an interesting...
The Angel Fire UFO landing site was discovered, that's the first word they put out, crop circles. Boy, my ears pricked up. I wanted to go investigate those, but as soon as I saw a picture of one, I said, No, that is not a crop circle. And I recognized it from Ted Phillips' work that it was a UFO landing site.
And there's no doubt about it in your mind about the UFO landing site?
Not really, because we have a UFO landing site in which a UFO was observed, and the people went out and looked at the site. Ted Phillips has got all this detail, and it was not identical, but very so much you couldn't miss it, like what we found here at Angel Fire. And we found a number of places where they had landed. And we found a place which I call the nesting area where they had been landing and taking off over a period of years. And we know that because some of the vegetation would start to grow back in the place that they had denuded. And that's right here in Angel Fire.
Interesting. Dee, we could talk for hours. Thanks very much,
Greg. I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
It's always good. We're here at Angel Fire. I'm Jerry Pippin. Jane Swartley is our web producer. Roberta Scott is our on-location producer. Shanina Johnson is also a producer here helping us. Until next time, this is Jerry Pippin. Thanks for listening. Cheers.